presented by that time I got reincarnated in the same world as an anime podcaster, this is Shonen Jumping the Gun, the show where we set our sights on the first chapter of a manga and decide if it's a misfire or a bullseye.
Let's see how many rounds are in this magazine.
On today's episode, Marriage Toxin. Welcome, everybody. This is Shonen Jumping the Gun. I am your lovelorn, loquacious lecturer, Kermit the Grog. Surprised I got that out in the first take. And with me, with microphone master, Isekai Sensei-sama Brad. Brad, how you doing?
What's up?
I don't know.
Master Poet.
I still have to figure out how to use a microphone to kill somebody.
Yeah. I shout really loud.
Let it all out.
Yeah. Today, again, as always, you know from the intro that you've already heard with your ears, we are talking about the manga Marriage Toxin, which I think has been out for a while even when we got to it, but had newly dropped on the app, which means we're talking about it. Also, I do believe a noted listener of our podcast, I want to say Last of the Red Rose, asked us to read this.
Yes, I believe that's true.
So we are finally making good on this promise that I made ages ago that we would read this.
Definitely start writing that stuff down.
I did, somewhere.
Not in a place that's helpful.
Yep. Well, it's a place that I don't have in front of me right now, but I know I've been writing down every time somebody suggests something to me, I've been writing it down. So no, if you're listening to this podcast and you want us to read something and we like you, we'll get to it someday.
Or if we're interested in the manga, even if we hate you.
Yeah. You can't stop us from covering the new stuff. It's our job. But enough dawdling. Marriage Toxin. Let's go through my patented super speed run summary. Oh, I didn't get the start date at all on this one.
No, we should probably go back. Yeah, start date. You haven't been telling people who the author is.
No, because that's not something that's important to me. So I just don't do it. You're the one that wanted that. And if you're not going to bring it, I'm not getting it because it's not important to me. I don't give a shit. What is this? What is the shonen flop? There's no dates on this. I don't know.
See, I figured, you know,
because people have been reading it from before. Like, we got suggested to it, so it just came to our app recently. So I don't know. I've not enough to research it.
I figured with Maxi B being your senpai, you'd be all about that.
Maxi B is my senpai because I don't have that ability within me. I respect them because they can do that and they have the brain space for it. So yeah, so as far as I know, Marriage Toxin has been out for a while, not on the app, but now it's on the app, which means I can read it. But I don't know when because the app's not telling me.
Oh, no.
So this is a situation we're in.
We do not have a researcher on staff.
This is not an academic podcast.
Actually,
Maxi B, if you ever listen to this one day, you're not being called out.
Technically,
you are being respected.
Shonen Flop has multiple researchers on staff.
We just got to become cooler to warrant having a researcher that I won't pay attention to keep these episodes attempting to be punchy.
Hey, people can volunteer.
Somebody volunteered us this manga and we read it, if you want to look at it like that. So with that, let's get to my Kermit's patented speedrun summary, written by my co-host this time, because I was too lazy to. Let's see, I've never read this, so this is going to be a fun journey for you and me both, listener. Marriage Toxin. Our sordid tale begins at a dinner being held by a rich mogul with a taste for darker things. The poison tester seated to his left declares the soup to be poison-free. The mogul gives a speech about working hard through the difficulties in their business, while they all sit on living, nearly naked humans acting as chairs, giggity. In the background, we see the chef leave the building. As the mogul finally finishes his long-winded and self-indulgent rant, he finally takes a bite of the delicious soup and, "Hurk! Ah, it's poisoned!" Oh my gosh, intense. We follow our protagonist down the street. He has shed his disguise as a chef. There you go. He notices a couple, or more aptly, the woman, kissing goodbye and, distracted, runs into a vending machine, breaking his glasses. Oof. This only takes a page and a half, so it's probably not foreshadowing anything. Don't think about it. It's not important. Our protagonist sits at home with his sister, eating one of those Japanese candy kits where you pour powder into water and it turns into something else, which we have done, courtesy of our sponsor,
Sagoy Mart.
I was about to say one of the other ones. Thank you, San. Thank you, sponsor San. She's curious how he was able to poison someone who was one of the best poison testers in the country, tasting their food. He explained that he worked there for 3 months to build up the poison tester's immunity to a certain poison, so he'd no longer be able to detect it, which is said to be something no one else would think of. And we'll just take him at his word because it sounds cool. Indeed, it does. I do love the stories of, like, kings and important people building up tolerances to poison by taking little bits every day. I am a sucker for that. Akari then changes the subject. Who's Akari? Is Akari the main character of the sister?
Keep reading.
Sorry, you just dropped the name. Oh my gosh, look at this. Master summary writer Brad, this is me doubting him and I shouldn't. Akari then changes the subject. Oh, that's a sister. We know her name now. Anyways, she changes the subject to her brother's marriage, which he needs to do to keep the Poison Master clan alive. Their grandmother is trying to arrange a marriage for him to that end. The protagonist says he's... No, I don't know his name yet. They didn't say. Give me a break. Anyway, he's going to let the clan end with him and tells his sister to go live happily with her girlfriend because he's based AF. Agreed. Garo gets a call to hang out with his friend, the Bugmaster. Yes, we find out from Bugmaster that his name is Garo. They meet in a park for drinks. Bugmaster is super gross, but really a swell guy who genuinely cares about Garo's well-being. They catch up on the latest gossip about the other masters, the other master clan masters, and then Bugmaster drops something heavy on Garo. He's going to get married. He found a normal woman who loves them, even though he has bugs living in his face. And it's probably not because of his extra long forked tongue. No siree. Bugmaster promises that even though things will change, they'll always be best buds. Yeah, sure, buddy. He then leaves in the coolest possible way for a man who controls bugs to leave. I like leaving that up to the listener's imagination. We jump forward to Garo taking a new job. The client is bringing him through the facility, explaining various things, while two women make Garo very uncomfortable. They finally reach a room where a woman, yes, that woman, it was foreshadowing! You shouldn't have trusted me! Ha ha! Where a woman is tied to a chair. Garo quickly injects something into her arm. She is confused, and he explains that he just poisoned her, and she's going to die an agonizing death over the next hour. These two converse for a little while, and we learn that this woman is Mei Kinosaki, and that she has scammed a lot of people, including some powerful people she shouldn't have, hence her current predicament. She trots out multiple lines trying to win over Garo, and it's totally not working. Seriously, no, Garo, stop that! After some time, Garo's phone rings. His sister is calling to tell him that she's leaving to go home and is going to get married to someone so she can continue the clan. This is because if Garo doesn't marry and Akari doesn't volunteer in his stead, their grandmother will just imprison Akari and force her to have children, which is fucked up. It's really fucked up. Garo tells Akari this that this isn't right and she needs to live happily with her girlfriend. Then he has a stroke of genius! He tells Kinosaki that if she wants to live... she'll have to marry him. And it's totally not coercion under duress because she already said she likes him. And so she turns him down. Wait, what? On this page, she says she's happy. On the next page, she says there's no way in hell. This page. Okay, anyway, she's turning him down because there's no way they can make it out of the building alive. I mean, she's already not going to do what? She's already not going to. So what does she have to lose? But before she dies, she just wanted to screw with him. What a jerk. And so they have a long conversation about what it means to connect to somebody and some philosophical stuff about justice and how they are bad people. It's good stuff. You should read it. After this goes on for a while, the client, who has been listening the whole time, tells Garo it's time to wrap up this whole charade. Yes, that is the word he uses, charade. But Garo has other plans. Since Kinosaki is a marriage scammer, he's commissioning her to help him get married. At this point, the client is pretty angry, so he and his entourage all pull out guns. What everyone in the room has failed to understand, however, is that Garo is a poison master, and that means simple things like bullets or gravity are no match for him. That's where the master comes in, I guess. He makes quick work of everyone, save for Kinosaki, with some poison gas and some injections that apparently give him super strength. Mr. Super Drugs. Garo and Kinosaki escape after Garo remembers he's still on the phone with Akari and tells her to go back to her girlfriend because he's going to marry someone and she can be free. Outside, Kenosaki needs help getting into the car because she's still paralyzed. Gero doesn't know what to do because he doesn't want to touch a woman inappropriately, but it's okay because Kenosaki is a man, and then the chapter ends, and I go, I don't know how to feel about that.
You're supposed to no-sell the ending of that.
I couldn't because it was generally how I was feeling when I read it, where I was just like, oh, you were based before, and now I'm don't know, and that's the thing of this show, that we only read one chapter.
What a whirlwind.
What a whirlwind. What a country.
So the summary was a little sarcastic, but I had a lot of fun with this.
I like your summaries, Brad. Like, every so often I want to tag you and I got to go, Isekai Sensei-sama's patented speedrun summary.
I wrote it in your voice. So.
You did, but better. Maybe it was just because I got to read it and it was exciting instead of having to think about it. But enough of that. I like this manga.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's weird.
It's on that cusp of like, it's funny enough without being a gag. Like,
it's strange.
Yeah, there's definitely comedy all throughout it, but also like an actual thing is happening. So it's not strictly
there's
a comedy.
There's a through line that is compelling.
Yeah.
But it also is stated, it's got big, you're fucking with me, right? Energy, like throughout the entirety of it.
Yeah.
I enjoy that there is a lesbian relationship that's in the background. It's just as a fact of life. It's weird that that's like a fulcrum, but maybe that's coming as somebody who's like, it's like, why would them being lesbians mean she couldn't have a baby? Like, there's like, in my brain, it's just like, oh, artificial insemination. Like,
because Japan.
I don't even know if just, but some of that is, it's just like, this is the bound, like, I should be happy to have this. This is just the setup to make the story go, and I shouldn't think about it in that much detail.
And I
did, but I shouldn't have, because it was just getting in the way of me enjoying the story.
There is a lot of progressive mentality.
Exactly.
In this.
That's why I should be like, good, celebrate.
Which makes me think that the ending there is going, it's gonna turn out okay.
That was what made it such a toss up, because it had already proven itself to be like fairly cool and chill about things, but like Japan dealing with like cross-dresser, trans, I don't know, because just the way that they approached things for a long time and even now, and their terminology to our terminology and approach to things is just, it's like big, like hit the big red button, just go like, group meeting, I don't know what's happening. And to have that at like the last page of this thing.
Yeah.
And being like, I don't know.
Honestly, I think having that as like literally the last panel was something that made me go, well, I'm definitely going to keep
reading.
They
got the hooks in. Not everything gets the hooks in. And I was
gotta know.
Curious of it.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. Oh, spoilers. You read more. I actually have not yet. Future.
I haven't.
Vision.
No, I haven't. Do you know why I've been wanting to record this for weeks now? Because I want to read more.
Hi, everybody.
Of this.
We recorded this in a set of episodes that at the time of recording haven't even been released yet. And neither will this one.
What
for
are we?
A while.
We still have four in the can right now.
Yeah.
And we just recorded one before this.
Yeah.
Hey, by the time you're listening to this, we will probably have changed our schedule so that more of these are coming out.
Who knows? Or maybe not. I don't know. But, you know, I like it. I like the art. I like the direction. I like that the moments it gets too saccharine, it goes, I'm just fucking with you. We're doing this. I like the I like themed assassins. I like that Bugman wears a mask and a bug just like a giant spider just crawls out and he's like, nope, get back in there, sweetie.
No, there's literally bugs living
in
his face.
There's literally bugs living in his face.
That wasn't a joke.
That was not a joke or an overstatement. It's literally disgusting. And the picture of really creepy man with bugs coming out of his face with like the most normal looking Japanese woman. This little, it's just the funniest thing.
I did, when I was rereading it for the summary and I got to that part, and then he like flicked out his forked tongue and was like, oh.
That's why. Some people are into that.
But he's also a good guy. He's just a genuinely
good guy. He seems like a good guy.
I
hope we get to meet more of the masters and they're like weirdly chill despite their really effed up line of work and particular
profession. It's up in the air because obviously Gero and Akiri's grandmother is not chill at all. Like,
old people aren't chill though.
Well, that's true. But that was like, oh my God, you're going through this and like, oh, we need to keep the clan together and everything. It's like, okay, but everybody's progressive and it's cool. And you meet the Bugmaster and he's progressive and cool. And oh, he found love. That's sweet. And then it's like, yeah, grandma's going to kidnap me if I don't go voluntarily.
Grandma's
going
to kidnap me and impregnate me if I don't. And it's like, Jesus Christ. I'm just reading about love and stuff. And I know also poisonings, but like, it's a very much that escalated quickly where it's just like, just you can marry your girlfriend and just have a baby. You can just do that. If all you need is a baby, you can make it happen. Like, it's not that hard.
But also,
again, it's the fulcrum of the story to compel him to try to figure this out.
Yeah,
like that's needed, and that's why it's like, I can't get too hard on the freaking have a baby or whatever, because it's like, if there's that's a fulcrum, that this is the setup to make this particular story happen.
There's a definite through line in the first chapter where Garrow wants to feel and have love.
Yes.
That whole thing at the beginning where we see May with the other guy, which is like, it seems out of place until you get to the end. He's looking at them and feeling those feelings. And then later when he's talking to her and they're going back and forth about the philosophy and that they're bad people and everything, you can tell he's not seeking out love because of who he thinks he is, even though he wants it. And so it's compelling to me in going, oh, I want him to find love.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. I want him to be loved.
As like a little romance story, and obviously we haven't seen the actual romance in it yet. It's just the desire for it, but it seems like it's setting itself up in a way that, like we said, was progressive, that could be compelling and not be like, oh gosh, what are you doing? No, because I feel like from all your time in heroin addiction, like romances are the ones where you can most just like F it up in a moment and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And just,
or you can screw it up from the start and then piss a lot of people.
Yeah. It's something that's very easy to piss people off quickly.
Yeah.
It's something easy to screw up in a very flagrant way. So, but what I've seen so far seems promising that it won't screw it up and it won't get too saccharine, but it can get there. It can get to the feelings and the moments that it needs to. So,
and I think there's going to be, moving on to where it can go.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Garrow and Mai to play off of each other and have like a lot of comedic moments there, because, you know, Garrow is, even though he's like very capable and, you know, can be very serious and everything, he's also sort of a dummy in aspects, juxtaposed to Mai, who is like, can put on this
a lot more savvy
air of everything, but is like secretly a mean person underneath.
She's a grifter.
Yeah.
I mean, also pronouns, throw my hands up and who knows, but we'll just stick with she for now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because this is Schrodinger's pronouns because we haven't read chapter two, where the last line of chapter one is clarified.
She goes by
she
female
in the moment
pronouns
when she is, yeah, exactly.
Throughout the chapter, and then at the very end,
and that's all
says,
the information we have, because that's the point of Shonen jumping the gun.
Some people will say, I'm a male, I'm she, her, so who knows? Yeah. We'll have to find out. But I think it'll
finally record this. We can read it forward.
There's a chance for them to have a very interesting,
I'm excited
dynamic.
To see how that dynamic involves about why she needs to stick around and things, but also like the other suitors that are going to come in. And I don't know, like, this is one where sometimes you get a taste of something. You're like, I don't know where you're going, but also I don't trust you to tell me where to go somewhere. You didn't set up that where like, but this one feels like, I don't know where exactly we're going to go, but you've done enough that has intrigued me.
Yeah.
You've proven yourself as an author to hook me in, even if it's like, I don't know what's going to happen next, but that's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what Marriage Toxin has done.
So we should probably touch on the art real quick. I don't think there's anything in here that's like super standout, but it is very much just solid.
It's doing its job. The bug guy was scary and weird and gross and creepy, and it did its job very well. It was like
the
insects.
Yeah, like the character models and stuff, there's nothing that they're going, you know, crazy with. It's very standard manga style stuff. I do think that the shot composition, they did a really good job with, as far as like, here's what's going on in the scene. We're going back and forth between these two characters talking. How are they set up in the scene? the very short bit of action that we get was I think done pretty well. So overall, I'd say like above average for the art.
Yeah, it's good. No majors. But with that out of the way, I think it is ready for our flop pull votes. So, as always, Truxan is going to help us with the rules of the range. So, Truxan, take it away. Hey, everybody, it's me. It's Truxan, your friendly neighborhood Truxan. It's Truxan's rule of the range. So, we're at the bottom. We got Dead Walking, Dead in 20 Chapters or Less, and Early Grave, like Do Retry or Candy Flurry. Next up from that, we got a flop. Granted a stay of execution, under 50 chapters, like a Fabricant 100, or a Doron Dororon, whatever that is. Next up is It'll Live. Hangs on just past flop zone, sub 120 chapters, like PPPPPP, or Magu-chan. Then we got Solid. Seer that does well, but hasn't reached its true popularity, like an Akane Banashe, or Undead Unluck. Can get an anime. Then we got the hit. Truly popular with an anime and hundreds of chapters, like a Black Clover or an Assassination Classroom. And finally, oh my gosh, the Supernova Industry Shaker and Shaper. Readers want to be with them, other manga want to be like them, like a Demon Slayer, Jujutsu Kaisen. And that's Truxan's Rules of the Range. Back to you. Thank you, Truxan.
Thanks, Truxan. That's so, very helpful.
It's very helpful. So with that out of the way, Parad, Isekai Sensei-sama, what is your vote and what is your feeling?
I'm going to call it a hit.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I think there's enough there that it can ensnare the youth, the Japanese youth, and get them involved and want to see more and keep it up there.
I could see
as far as how I feel about it, probably the same level. Like, I want this to do well.
Would you call it good or great?
Is there a level above great?
Amazing.
I'll call it great.
Okay. And then there's one above that, which is not here, which is, I've only known this manga for a chapter, but if anything happens to this manga, I'll kill everyone in this Discord and then myself. But
I think great.
We actually had one of those. I don't believe that episode has come out yet, yeah. But it might. Who knows?
Yeah, great is, I think that's a good description, given the two levels above that.
Yep.
Because there's not anything in here where I would be like, I am going to now go home and read all of the rest of the, how many chapters are there? Right now. But I will probably read it over the course of, you know, a week or two.
Yeah. I'm going to probably, now that we've talked about it,
yeah,
catch up on it. My vote is solid. I enjoy it. It doesn't feel like it's got the legs for a hit, especially when I look at my examples for a hit, and one of them is Black Clover, and I don't feel like this is on that level. And maybe that just means I need more granularity in the upper part of it. I don't know. I already added more, so I would say solid. And for how I feel about it, I would say good to great. It's got its hooks in me. I mean, I wasn't jamming enough to read another chapter, but I'm still thinking about it and intrigued to do so. So I would say, like, good to great for my end of things. And I feel like that answers our question of, would you keep reading this outside of this? And I feel like for both of us, that answer is firmly yes.
Out of most of the things that we read, I will say most. I think this is right up there with, I want to read more of this very soon. Like I said, I'm not going to go home and do it tonight, mostly because I have something I need to read for a heroin addiction recording tomorrow, but very soon.
So at the time of recording, there are 6 chapters on the app. I believe this was...
Only 6?
I don't know if it's just... Again, I don't even have the dates when they got released.
Oh, you know what? Because we read this when there was literally one chapter out.
Correct.
That was
when
we
first read
it. But also,
there was like, it's been out either somewhere else, not on the app, or fans translated somewhere, because that is how we got it recommended to us, because it was recommended to us before it hit the app.
That's
and
right.
And the app is what sped up the process for us covering it. So,
but that just goes to show you, it's been at least 6 weeks since I've wanted to record this.
At a minimum. Again, release schedule, when they don't list the dates, it's like usually implies it's not like a weekly release schedule.
Yeah.
So I don't know how this one, maybe they're just getting it as it comes. I don't know. The app is a strange place. This being the Viz app, just to be clear, because I know there are many different manga apps.
The only one that matters.
The one that matters to me, because it's the app I have and I don't want more apps.
The only one we can actually pay a reasonable price for.
Or whatever, what's Manga Plus or whatever that everybody else has? Like, it's still Shueisha.
Oh, actually, yeah, I don't know what the cost is.
Because there's stuff on there that I don't, that's not on the Viz app that people are talking about, that I'm like, I don't need another app, I'm sorry.
I should take a look at that.
Yeah, same, even if I just said I wouldn't.
I'm all about paying reasonable prices for manga. Miss me with them keys shit.
Agreed. Let me pay a subscription. Don't make me pay, I don't want to buy digital volumes that I have to supposedly keep.
I will pay per chapter if someone prices it reasonably.
Would you pay for volume? I know is how Jump does it.
I was looking at I think it was Shueisha. No, Kodansha recently. Their digital volumes are $8. And I was like, that's almost the cost of a physical volume.
Well, physical volume now is like 10 to 12, depending on where you're at and what it is.
I would, in a heartbeat, pay $10 for a physical copy over $8 for something that's just digital.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't. I guess I've bought physical manga rarely recently.
I need like $2 or $3 volumes for digital.
I would say fives. I think two or
three. That's going to be a max.
Five. I would say $2 or $3 is too low for 8 chapters.
I mean, if because
when you think about it, is it at least $1 per chapter? This is an episode. This is not a Shonen Jump topic. This is a future mainline topic.
How many volumes are just 8 chapters?
I think it's like 8 to 12, give or take. Yeah, again, not the show. Save it for later. So with that, we've expressed our feelings. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Marriage Toxin, and Brad, tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so as always, we got to thank Sugoi-Mart for partnering with us. Sugoi-Mart is a retailer of Japanese snacks, drinks, toys, and merch. They got a lot of cool stuff you can't get outside Japan. Our listeners can check the link in the description or use code APR15 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. And we want to know what you think. You can contact us on social media. You can find links for that on our website, animepodcasterreincarnation.com. You can also leave comments about these podcast episodes and find other posts and reviews up there. You should also come chat with us on our Discord. We got a lot of good discussions going on there.
Fun stuff.
And check out our Patreon. Supporters get perks like getting to vote on which series to cover on Heroin Addiction, as well as getting the high-quality stereo version of the podcast early. And we'd love to hear what perks you'd like. And this is where we shout out our patrons. At our Reincarnator tier, we've got Cake Dwarf and Moon. At our Merchant tier, we've got Kill Hour. And last but not least, at our Commoner tier, we've got Rena. So thanks so much to all our patrons.
And thank you once again for listening to this episode. Make sure you listen to our mainline podcast, That Time I Got Reincarnated in the Same World as an Anime Podcaster. And oh, Brad, what did you put in those cookies?
Again, but more vigorously.
More toxic. Marriage toxin.
Oh, what was it? The name of the movie in another language translates to altogether vigorously. And I forget what the language was, but it's The Sound of Music.
Altogether vigorously. With gusto.
That was on QI.
I gotta think about the...
I'm definitely putting that whole thing at in the beeps after the
what of me flubbing it. Saying, I like that I'm getting I
plug me
Brad,
up.
Oh, plug me up and me just completely messing up Super Psychic Policeman Chojo. I like that we've been doing this for years, and even just this one I've done for 10, and I'm getting worse.
No, you're not. Instead
of better. My mouth is just becoming more big in my brain. If this boat be a rockin', marriage toxin. One of those has to...
No, that's...
On today's episode, marriage toxin! The other ones are good because that one was supposed to be shit. So by contrast, the others must be good.
Oh, okay.
That was so the idea. It was just to poison the well so much of like, well, you got to pick one of the other ones. The well's poisoned.
So I got to put that at the end.
You can't go back to
so
it.
So people, when they get to the end, they can hear that and be like, oh, yeah, the first one was good.
The first one was good. The one that I heard, which I guess was the first one. Welcome, everybody. This is Sounding the... I'm going to do my lip trill warm-ups.
Loose lips sink ships.
Sibilance. The tip of the tongue, the something in the teeth. I don't remember what it is.
The tip of the tongue, the... I don't know.
Yeah, but it's the teeth is the ending bit.
And this is where we shout out our patrons.
Shout. Let it all out.
These are the patrons we can't do without. Come on. I'm talking to you. Come on.
Oh, Brad, what did you put in those cookies? That was me dying by poison. Thank you.
Wait, I kill people with microphones.
I destroyed my throat for this bit, Brad. It's keeping. It's staying in. We still have another episode to record.
I'll get you next time, Gadget. Next time.
I don't think I can do Gadget. Go, Gadget!
Brown bricks in Minecraft.
What?
I just... I don't know how long ago the other guy that's in Angry Video Game Nerd, that's his buddy, Mike Matei...
I don't really. I don't either.
I just
really
need to set this thing because I didn't see this. I only saw it when it started showing up as memes in other places. For some reason, he did a Let's Play essentially with himself where he's himself, but he is also playing an animated version of Inspector Gadget that he's like just really weird. I don't know. I never watched it, but just certain phrases of that made it into other things that I was watching of people referencing the strangeness of it. And one of them is him going, brown bricks in Minecraft. Kind of like that. So now it's just an audio clip that stays in my brain.
Go, Gadget Finger.
Go, Gadget. I'm being Fred Schneider again. I've been listening to a lot of B-52s. Go, Gadget Rock Lobster.